In this next podcast, we'll be discussing a wide variety of topics of how heat treaters can save money in the operation and maintenance of vacuum furnaces. Bill, what should heat treaters consider before the furnace is even turned on?
Our furnaces are all electric. They're electrically powered. This means we're going to be operating from electric power lines from a utility. So you can negotiate with the utility companies for better contracts. Also, the way the electric power is measured within the company, there's considerations about that. A lot of the older plants have multiple electric power meters from the electric utility. Now, that's a very inefficient way to measure electric power. You want to do it with one utility meter wherever possible. In our own case here, we have two buildings, so they're separated a little bit. And we had separate power entrances for each building. So we did do that. We went to a single power measurement. Then we tied in a power line ourselves between the two plants. It cost quite a bit of money to do it. I think it cost maybe somewhere a little bit less than $100,000 to make that electrical change. We paid for it in 6 months.
What about the cooling gases?
You can make considerable savings by buying gas in liquid form. And also you can negotiate with the suppliers, which we've done.
In the day-to-day operation of the furnaces, what ways are there to save money with regard to the pumps?
Well, the roughing pump has a motor that's anywhere from 10 to 15 horsepower. It is one of the major absorbers of electric power. Generally speaking, if the furnace is going to be in operation through the work week, for instance, Monday through Friday, we will say leave it run continuously. Don't try to start it and stop it. And shut it down over the weekend and then start it up on Monday morning. However, if the furnace is in a 24/7 operation, which is primarily in our plants, we run the roughing pump constantly. Now, the holding pumps, which are small, they're the ones that hold the vacuum on the diffusion pump. We run 24/7 all the time. And the reason for that is they're small vane vacuum pumps. And we've found if you shut them down, they will sometimes jam when you start them up, which is not a pleasant experience because that means you have to take the pump offline and clean it, maybe even scrap it.
What about the diffusion pump?
The diffusion pump uses a lot of energy. I'd like to tell people that a diffusion pump in the vacuum furnace probably absorbs as much power as all the lights in the plant. And no one would think of going home at night without turning the lights off, right? But people don't mind leaving the diffusion pump on all the time. And it's sitting there chewing up, depending on size, it could be 10 or 20 kW. So we like to idle it so that when it's pumping, we will have the diffusion pump on full power. When we're in either the cooling mode or in a loading mode, that is when the diffusion pump is not needed, we will have it sitting at half power until you press the process start button and start the cycle. So by the time the furnace roughs down, the diffusion pump is up to temperature and pumping. That saves quite a bit of energy, but more important, which most people don't think about, is the fact that by turning the diffusion pump off or idling it that way, you can extend the heating element life easily by a factor of 3 or 4. It's really quite an extension. That's a big deal.
What are the most important considerations with respect to the heat treating cycles being run?
Most sensitive part of that cycle is the heating rate. If you heat very fast, then you raise the power demand. If you heat real slow, then you have the other thing that eats your costs, and that's a lot of time under power. So you want to give some considerations about that, that somebody has to say, well, we can heat this one way or another.
What heating rate do you recommend?
The heating rate that I recommend is 15 degrees a minute. That's a nice heating rate. It's an intermediate heating rate. It's not fast to the point that you're going to develop high demand rates, and it's not too slow where you're going to have a lot of kW losses.
What about during the quenching phase?
During the cooling cycle, assuming you have a variable speed drive, you can slow the blower down toward the end of the cycle, which can considerably save money.
What about the type of cooling gas?
Nitrogen costs 50 cents a 100 cubic feet. Argon costs $3.50 per 100 cubic feet. And helium costs about $30 per 100 cubic feet. So you can see that if you can cool something in nitrogen, you want to cool with nitrogen. You don't want to cool it with argon, let's say. And you better have a very good reason to cool it with helium because of this very high cost of helium. And the cost of helium is only going to get incrementally worse because it's not going to be available maybe after the next 5 years. Big problem.
How can the proper operator training save costs?
An experienced operator, before he loads the furnace, he will look around inside, just glance around, and make sure that all the heating elements are intact and that there's no broken insulators and there isn't something like a heat shield or a piece of graphite foil up against an element which will cause trouble. The other thing, of course, it sounds simple, but let's say you have baskets in the furnace and you don't load the furnace in such a way that you ram the baskets into the back of the furnace and break all the insulation up. You don't load the furnace with work sticking out the front, so when you close the door, you break all the insulation up in the front.
Bill, can you address the costs that are lost from not choosing the right heat treating cycle and then the operators having to abort the cycle during the run?
Unfortunately, they don't generally abort the cycle. They run the cycle, and then afterwards they find out it isn't right.
What about maintenance?
A vacuum furnace costs a lot of money. You're talking about something that costs $500,000 or so, and the only way to pay it back is to run it. Run it in order to pay for it. So you do everything you can in the way of maintenance to see that that happens. You've always heard it said, preventative maintenance is the first cost to reduce the problems. And that's very true for the vacuum furnace. So what does that mean? It means, for instance, you have to change the oil in the vacuum pumps. For a furnace that's in constant operation, we recommend you change the oil in the vacuum pumps monthly. The door O-ring is another thing. We change our door O-rings monthly because the door O-rings tend to go flat and then they will leak. Changing oil, greasing valves, regular maintenance program on the vacuum furnace pays off, no question. And if you sit there and do no maintenance on that furnace, it's going to end up costing you more money in the long run.